Welcome to another episode of the Redeemed Man Podcast. The goal of the Redeemed is to provide a supportive community where all men can open up about challenges, worries, and failures, and celebrate their triumphs over those struggles. We hope you find this episode informative, relevant, and most of all, inspiring. Enjoy. We're excited today to have Luke Smallbone on the podcast. Luke Smallbone is an Australian singer known for being one half of the Christian pop duo for King and Country, along with his brother Joel Smallbone. He was born in Sydney, Australia, and moved to Nashville, Tennessee with his family in 1991. And after collaborating with Joel to form a band, they released an EP titled A Tale of Two Towns in 2008 and later changed their name for King and Country. The band's released three albums, with the second one winning a Grammy Award for Best Contemporary Music Album. In addition to his music career, Luke has served as the executive producer of the 2016 romantic crime drama film Priceless, and he's married to Courtney Helm, and they have four beautiful children and reside in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're so excited to have Luke on the show today to talk with us about their upcoming movie, Unsung Hero. I'm Nate Dewberry, and today I have with me Luke Smallbone from King and Country. Luke, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Nate. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Luke, I know you're a man of faith, and we've just celebrated Easter holiday. I would love to know what redemption means to you, Luke.
Oh, man, I hinge my life on redemption. That's how seriously I take it. I was 8 years old when I became a Christian. I was going through a little bit of a rough patch in my life. I was at Sunday school, actually. This is to all the Sunday school teachers that watch this. Maybe this will give you a little bit of perspective and purpose. But I was at Sunday school, and I was eight. And the Sunday school teacher went around and said, hey, for those of you who have made decisions to follow Jesus, raise your hand. But if you haven't, there's no pressure or condemnation here. But I'm not talking about your family's faith. I'm not talking about you coming to church. But I'm talking about you individually. Have you made a decision to follow Jesus? And I saw a lot of my friends raise their hand, but I knew I could not. And so I go home, and in the coming weeks, I get myself into some trouble for lying, or, you know, who knows what, whatnot. And my mom had come to me, and my dad had confronted me and said, hey, you got to go apologize to your mom. And so I'm going to apologize to my mom. And I just realized at that point that I could not triumph over sin. You know, it was just very apparent to me that there was a pattern in my life that I needed healing from.
Yeah.
And so I just actually told my mom, I was like, hey, mom, I just know I need Jesus in my life. And that is the redemption of Jesus. He takes people that are making mistakes. He's taking people that have gone intentionally against what he hopes for them.
Yeah.
And he gives you forgiveness. And that 180 that we're given, I often joke that night I slept the best I've ever slept in my life, because the load off of my, I felt this release of like, oh, I'm loved not because of what I can do or achieve, but I'm just simply loved, and this is my job to actually accept it. That to me is what redemption means.
Luke, that you couldn't have said it better. Last night I was listening to Burn the Ships and just thinking about even the lines in your song and what that is to take the past and just, you know, do away with it. And that's what Jesus has done for us, is removing the past and putting us on a course that we could never imagine. And it's so beautiful. Most people know you as one half of For King and Country, but you guys are also into some movie work. So tell us a little bit about, I think it's April 26th, right? You've got a movie
April
coming 26th.
Out. That's right.
Yeah. Unsung Hero. Please tell us about the movie, a brief synopsis, kind of, if you will, of what you guys are going to be sharing with us.
Yeah, originally born in Australia. Hopefully you can still tell. Born in Australia, my dad was a concert promoter back there, and I brought one tour back that didn't go very well, and we lost everything that we had. We lost the house. We lost the life savings. Lost the car. And so my dad was looking for a fresh start for his career. And he got a job offer in Nashville, Tennessee. He thought it would be a good idea to move his six kids and his wife, who was 6 months pregnant at the time, to the other side of the world. That's exactly what we did. Soon after we arrived in Nashville, my dad lost that job. And so we're straight on the other side of the world, no friends, no family. We were sleeping on beds made out of clothes, didn't have any way for our little sister to be born in a hospital, weren't always quite sure where the next meal was going to come from, didn't have a car. I mean, the list went on and on and on. And I've told that story or some version of that story at pretty much every concert that Fakir Country has done over the last 11 or 12 years. And I've had a lot of people come up and say, man, Luke, you guys should write a book. But the truth is I was homeschooled, so I don't read or write very well. So I thought, well, maybe we could make a movie instead. So I reached out to a producer friend of ours in LA, and that kind of got the ball rolling a little bit. And I've had a lot of people say, you know, Luke, why are you making a movie? I mean, you guys do music. Why would you do this? These aren't easy things to do. And they're right. They're not easy things to do. And the truth is this. Look, I'm a big believer in the power of family. I think the family is more powerful today than ever in the history of the world. But yet we don't value family the way that we should. And Mother Teresa has a great quote that I think kind of sums up the movie. She says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. And that's kind of given us the purpose and the reason for making this movie.
Luke, you're not only, you know, your family and that experience coming from a big family, but you also have four kids of your own. So I know you're a family man. With what's been one of the things in as being a dad that's the most exciting and honestly one of the things you think people can take away from the movie with regards to family? You mentioned what Mother Teresa said and the importance of it, but where is there any practical or something that they're going to come away just encouraged about walking it out with their own family?
When we had a rough cut of the film, which is a little scary because when you got a rough cut of the film, it's not done yet, but there's a bunch of people that are kind of like, hey, you know, you guys, I've seen you make this movie and I want to watch it. And so there was a friend of ours who I would say isn't the most joyful of individuals. He's a little crusty, if that makes sense. But he works on a bunch of films. So it was kind of like one of these like, man, I don't want to show him the movie too early, but he's actually going to know what's good. And maybe he'll have some good ideas if we haven't, you know, executed certain things in the right way. So he works on films all the time. So anyway, he's asked to see the film. And, you know, what do you do when you walk out of a movie theater when you're with a group of friends? What's the first thing you ask each other? What did you think? Yeah. Did you like it? What's going on? So anyway, the movie finishes. And, you know, we got this kind of awkward moment like, hey, man, what did you think? And he kind of wiped his eye a little bit. And he said, man, I want to be a better dad. And my hope is that people with this film will start inserting themselves into it. You know, if you're a dad, I hope that you leave going, man, the time spent at home is incredibly valuable and purposeful. To any mothers out there, hopefully in my mom's character, you can just see how it shapes the next generation and say that the effort that I'm putting in matters. To the siblings, to the kids, that you'll say that no matter how young you are, you can play a significant role in achieving fantastic things, that you can be a part of a family, that you can do things. You don't have to wait until you graduated high school. You don't have to wait. You can do things now. You can impact people around you. And that's my hope, as I think that people will start looking. Everybody's a part of a family. Yeah. If you're adopted, you're a part of a family. If you're at college, you're a part of a family. You've got roommates. So who you are and what you do very well could be, you know, you could be making such a mark on somebody else's life that their future is never the same. And I just really believe in the power of family and who we are and how we conduct family.
Luke, I'm so excited about the film. Can't wait to go see it myself. One of the things you mentioned is the difficulty that your family faced when you left Australia and you moved to Nashville. One of the things I've heard you share about was just talking about how God worked so many miracles. Can you talk a little bit about the miracles that happened in that season when you guys were literally praying sometimes for food on the table?
Yeah, man, we had extraordinary things take place. I mean, we had people that were just new neighbors that would literally just drop grocery bags full of groceries on our doorstep that we didn't know. I think people started to know that we were struggling, but they would, you know, that was one that was pretty amazing. We didn't have any furniture and we were praying for furniture, and we had a church that wasn't even the church that we went to. They walked around the house, realized we literally didn't have any furniture. And a few days later, they came and brought two box trucks full of furniture and furnished our entire house. I mean, that's a pretty big, massive moment. The first Thanksgiving that we were here, we didn't have a car, and literally the family came to us, and the father, the household, after spending Thanksgiving, just knew that he needed to do something. He gave us a car, like the first day he met us, like just gave us a car. I think it was a brand new car. I mean, just insane rate of things. We weren't going to be able to have Christmas that year. And, you know, first grade class partnered with Santa and was able to give us Christmas that year. Still to this day, the most lavish Christmas I've ever had. I mean, gifts upon gifts upon gifts. And so, I mean, that's just like, that's just four. I mean, we had situations, where the person we're renting a small home from, when we left to rent a different home and we had just started to kind of get out of the struggle of finance. When we were leaving, he goes, "Hey, I forgot to collect rent like 4 or 5 months." And he just goes, "Well, that's on me, not you." And moved on. I mean, think about that. Who doesn't do that over 2 years, yeah, 4 or 5 months? Sure. That's a substantial amount of money. So it's pretty crazy.
Well, those crazy stories of faith, I'm sure, are things that you go back to. I mean, you and your family, you've had incredible success since that season and in many different ways. And I'm sure that probably keeps you guys grounded in some ways to go back to that season and remember where you were, remember God's faithfulness in that season to where you are now. When I think about the film, you were the producer, right? One of the producers on the film. Yeah. So what's one of your favorite scenes from the movie?
One of my favorite scenes is a scene where my mom is at a playground with all of us kids, and things are pretty difficult, and we've just been hit with disappointment after disappointment. She kind of gives a speech about just not looking back. We're gonna stay in America, and we're gonna fight our way through it. It's still one of those scenes that I think that part of the reason why it's so powerful is I don't really care what you've walked through. You can apply, you know, your life, but you can insert your life into that scenario where there's hardship, you know, whether or not it's family, whether or not it's career, whether or not it's, you know, relationships. I mean, we all have to move on from different things, and it's difficult to do. And so that's probably one of my favorite scenes. Probably the most surprising for me. I remember reading it in the script going, "We'll shoot it. I don't know if this is great." And I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, "Lord have mercy, that scene is just insane. It's just ridiculously powerful." So yeah, that's probably my favorite scene in the film.
So your brother Joel plays your dad in the film, correct?
Yeah, he does.
So how was it with you being behind the camera, your brother being in the film, and then playing your dad? Was there awkward moments in that? I mean, I would think in some ways there's probably some cool moments, but also some moments you're like, "What? That's he's acting my dad," like just a little unusual, as you, and even probably brings back some memories for you of your own dad.
Yeah, I mean, the producer's job on set is to make sure you're executing the way you need to execute. And there were a couple scenes of like, "Hey, man, we need a little more from you. You know, we need you to, you know, pony up." And you know, if it's an emotional scene, like, "This is, we need you here," you know? So we had some of those moments. And, you know, it's funny. I didn't think it was as weird maybe as what everybody else thinks it is. And I can't really quite work out why. My brother Joel is, and my dad are very, very similar as a whole. So it didn't really feel like they're these massively different people. The thing that separates them is really just age, wisdom, and experience. You know, Joel is going to be 40 this year, which is the same age as my dad when he came over from Australia. And he doesn't have kids currently. And so what was cool to see is kind of him work through what it must have been like to be my dad in those moments, and to kind of, for him to kind of struggle through, "Oh man, like I'm just acting here and this is wrecking me." I think it gave him much more of a, empathy for my dad, you know, because I think that there's always, it's very easy to just look at our parents and be like, "Dad, come on, get a grip," you know, or "Mom." But if you probably walk through the same things they walk through,
exactly,
I mean, you probably act the same way.
Yeah. Well, I know in the movie, it focuses a good bit on your sister, Rebecca St. James. And I remember in high school, her influence, especially on, as I first really got a really started listening to Christian music. And she was a huge influence in that. And in the movie, I know there's a lot of focus on her. Talk a little bit about how that played into even your own career, because I know you did some backup singing there and early on in your career and your brother. So what does that look like? And how has that been as you guys all being in the music industry in a lot of ways?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm not just saying this. I think it's true. I'm literally the least likely person to be doing my occupation that ever exists. I did not grow up thinking I would sing. I grew up loving to sing, but that doesn't necessarily mean you should do that for a living.
Right.
And so I, without our sister, I don't think we would be doing what we're doing. I mean, she paved a way for us.
Yeah.
You know, she made it, she gave us all these jobs on the road that, you know, if you want to talk about 10,000 hours, it's difficult to be excellent as an artist in your early 20s because you probably haven't done it for 10,000 hours, you know. But when you started, I mean, I think I was 10, maybe 9 or 10. I was running Spotlight at that age. I was a lighting director at 14, 15, somewhere in there. I then got into some background vocals. I mean, I basically, out on the road, outside of maybe being the head audio guy, I've done every job basically there is on the road. I've done merchandise. I've done everything. And so I'm the least likely person maybe in personality traits. But as far as my you know, upbringing and the opportunities that I was given, it, like, perfectly qualified by my early 20s to be able to do some of the things that we were doing, you know. And so without her, you know, listening to songs, you know, and critiquing songs and thinking through melodies and performance, all those things, they're all things that you don't go to school for this. Like, no one says, like, hey, man, yeah, if you want to become an artist, like, you're going to go to the school of X and they're going to teach you how to perform. They're going to teach you how to write songs. They're going to teach you how to sing. They're going to teach you how to do interviews. They're going to teach you how to do lights, how to sell merchandise, how to market products. I mean, that's all the stuff that you're doing when you're an artist. It's an unbelievable. Really, it's just a school of hard knocks. And without our sister, we wouldn't have been able to go to that school. That's for sure.
It's a little bit like being an entrepreneur in a lot of ways. There's so many different elements to what you do. So with your music, what's next for you and your brother? And what can we expect on the horizon?
Well, we got this film coming out April 26th, and on the same day, we actually have an Inspired By musical soundtrack as well. And so there's not too many originals. There are some, but this is we're doing a bunch of covers. You know, we've got Place in This World by Michael W. Smith that we've covered. We've got Crazy by Seal, Rod Stewart, Rhythm of Your Heart, Lead Me On by Amy Grant, To Hell with the Devil by Stryper, if you guys remember that. We actually do a cover with that.
You know, way back.
Way back with Lecrae on that as well. And so there's all sorts of, there's a ton of new content. There's a ton of new material. So on the horizon, man, I honestly can't really see beyond this this film right now. We'll do that. We're going to Australia for a month. We're doing some shows back there, which will be great. We'll come home and, I mean, hopefully take a little bit of a break. You know, I don't ever want to complain because I'm grateful to do the things that we're doing. But I'll be pretty tired
when
this thing's all done. And, you know, like I always say, because people think that I'm like, I just work all the time. And the truth is, we go in spurts. You know, there's even scripturally, there's a season to go out and there's a season to come in. And I think to a lot of men, just make sure you're not always out. You know, there are moments. You got to go out and work hard. That's just part of it. We want to teach our kids how to work hard. But you can't always be out or else you will ruin your family. And for us, it's like, this is a season where we're working hard, but we'll have a season of coming in and being home, and that'll be great.
That's a great word, Luke. One of the things that the Redeem's all about is connecting men in community with other guys and providing that space for them to be open and vulnerable about what's going on in their life. As you, as an artist, and you've had a lot modeled from your family, but how do you today keep that community around you of those relationships who know you and even can tell by the sound of your voice of how you're doing? What are some of the things that you've learned to keep that community of men around you?
Well, I think remaining in relationship is the biggest thing. I think for a lot of men, we retreat, you know, I remember back in the day, I remember, you know, people saying, oh, these phones are the worst. You know, people are just, you know, so isolated all the time. Well, go look at a train in the 1950s and look at what all the men are doing. They're all reading newspapers, you know, so we're very good at retreating.
Yes.
You know, we're very good at kind of running away from things and in some cases running away from the most important things, which end up being, you know, our relationship with our spouse is paramount. If you want to have a great family, make sure that you love your spouse. It will cover a multitude of mistakes that we make, which are inevitable. If they just know that they're safe within the confines of the love that you have with your spouse. Obviously, not everybody watching or listening to this is probably married, but to those who are, make sure that that is at the top of the list, one of the most important things that you do. And Man, when it comes to other community, I am really close with my family. I mean, my brothers are my best friends, and I talk to probably at least one of them nearly every day. And you know, whether or not it's an actual brother or just someone that is like a brother, I'm not saying it needs to be every day, but it is important to just have people that know who you are. One of the things that in my line of work, you know, there's a lot of, you know, pump and stance at times. For me to just be known by my brothers and to, like, they're going to tell me what's up no matter what. You've just got to have those relationships. I've got some other really good friendships as well outside of music and family. They're probably still not quite as close as those actual family members. And so that's part of the reason why I value those brother relationships so much, because they do know who I am. And then, man, they know when to call me out on, like, well, are you sure you should have done that business decision? Yeah. What do you mean? Well, I just, you know, I think you probably could have afforded a little bit more compassion or a little bit, you know, and then you start to get into some really good discussions. It's important to have people in your life that disagree with you. If you've just always got people that agree with everything that you're doing, you're probably not doing it right, or they're fearful of you, which is also probably not good either, you know, so.
Thanks so much, Luke. You guys have a blessed day. Excited to see the movie.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Redeemed Man Podcast. We sure enjoyed hearing from Luke Smallbone about Unsung Hero. Please make sure you check it out in theaters near you. It's going to be a great movie, and we love supporting the Christian music industry. If you are enjoying our podcast or watching on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel, leave us a rating or review. We love to hear back from our audience about what you are enjoying or what you would like to see. Also, go to redeem.com to find out more about local small groups, online groups that you can be a part of. Our desire is to be able to connect you in community. If you're in a situation where you're really in need of male friendship, to talk about what's happening in your life, to grow in your faith, please check us out, theredeem.com. God bless. You know, we've heard a lot of hopeful, inspirational stories from the guests on this podcast, but we want to make sure you know we want to hear your story too. If you've got a story of redemption or God doing amazing things in your life, go to theredeem.com, and in the right-hand corner, you'll see contact. Click on share your story. You can tell us about your experiences there, and you'll have the option of sharing it with the rest of the Redeemed community. Your story could be the inspiration someone else needs to find hope and overcome their own life struggles. We look forward to hearing from you.